Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
Well.
Oh, good. Tim has invited me to join his series of talks on the Mumon Khan. Therefore, I really do hope that you are well and settled, since we are diving into a rather strange question. This is the question. It is as if an ox had passed through a window screen. Its head, horns, and four hooves have all passed through. Why can't the tail pass through? So this rather improbable statement is a koan. If you've been around Zen for a while, or you have been coming here a bit, you probably have encountered koans in some shape or other. And while in our Soto Zen tradition, koans are perhaps not quite the instrument to provoke the great doubt and to test the student's progress, in Zen, they sometimes are used to clarify the great matter. One time I even read that the Soto school suppresses koans, but that has not been my experience either. My teacher, Norman Fisher, likens koans to beloved family stories, and I can relate to that. Like my family stories, I can see where this is going. While I'm pretty sure that I'm not told all the relevant bits and pieces, and that I need to find out for myself how it all fits together. Zen is personal. And with this introduction, let's get to it. So what I read was the opening of case 38 of the Mumon Khan, and its name is The Ox Passing Through the Window Screen. And for this talk, I will be using my favorite translation by Thomas Cleary. Wu Zhu said, "It is as if an ox had passed through a window screen. Its head, horns, and four hooves have all passed through. Why can't the tail pass through?" Woman says, "If here you can shift into reverse, set a single eye and speak a pivot word, you will be able to requite the favors you receive and help all beings. Otherwise, you have to pay further attention to the tail before you get in." Woman also wrote a verse about it. "If it goes past, it falls into a pit. If it comes back, then it is spoiled. This little tail is very strange indeed." So the main actor in this koan is Wu Zhu, who at the time of this story was a student of Zen master Bai Yun. Although he was an accomplished practitioner already, and the thought is that perhaps he continued to be a student to test himself, or perhaps it was to test the teachers. One day, Bai Yun, the teacher, told Wu Zhu about a group of practitioners who had experienced awakening and understood and were able to comment on Zen stories, koans. But then Bai Yun said, "But they're still inadequate. You tell me why." This statement pursued Wu Zhu 7 days and 7 nights. Then, all at once, he He broke through and let go. It is said that he let go of what he'd been treasuring, that he let go of his subjective feeling of completeness and realized the true limitlessness of enlightenment. Fortunately, or unfortunately, Zen stories, koans, are not cookbooks. We cannot follow a recipe, add the right ingredients into the pot, stir it around, and in 7 days, or when you see a flower being raised, someone cuts off your finger, or kills a cat, and boom, there you go. Enlightenment with a capital E. Nor does it work. It is not enough to decode the meaning of individual words and phrases and we break through. Nope, does not work. In Zen, we call koans a finger pointing at the moon. So let's not walk around the poor fellow who does the pointing and talk about how nicely he points or how elegant her finger is. Let's hunker down in the dirt next to him or her and stare. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see something too. It's like reading about some kind of extreme exercise routine. Do this and that every day for 2 hours, and in a month you should see a difference. So you faithfully read the article every day without doing the exercises. And 1 month later, who knows what you will see? Whatever it is, it does not have much to do with reading about the exercises. The question again is, are we willing to do our work? Okay, back to the tale of the ox. Why can this tale, why can my mind not pass through the window screen? Why is it stuck in the lattice? One key to opening up this koan lies in Dogen. And I know what some of you are thinking, that is like opening a lock with another lock, not a key. Here is what Dogen said in Genchō Koan, which means the koan of the current moment. When the Dharma does not fill your body and mind, you think it is already sufficient. When the Dharma fills your body and mind, you understand that something is missing. Dogen also says, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be confirmed by myriad things. To be confirmed by myriad things is to cast off the body and mind of the self as well as others. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. End quote. Maybe the question is not so much, why can't the tail get through? Maybe the question is, what is missing? But back to the ox, that big buffalo that plows the fields, whose labor helps to feed the family. The ox or buffalo remains a familiar fixture in Asia. She is a familiar fellow since the early teachings of the Buddha. In Zen, the buffalo took on a different meaning and stands for the heart, the psyche. The buffalo shows up in the ox herding pictures that some of you may be familiar with. She's powerful. She disappears, and the fellow runs after him and searches. Sooner or later, he finds her. He tames the buffalo and rides him home. And yet, in the end, the buffalo is gone from the picture and takes his tail with him. So we just don't quite know, do we? Is this strong creature now tame or not? This teaching story, of course, has nothing to do with buffaloes. But it is a story about our spiritual story and our Zen practice. And of course, like all other Zen stories, it says there's nothing to get. So if you were hoping to walk away with something, too bad. All that is left is the practice itself and our joy of it. Nothing is left out. We go on because we want to, with a mind of non-gaining. We are not bothered by our problems so much anymore. Not because our problems are gone. I'm sorry, they're not gone. But because we can hold them differently. And because of that, we can be there for others. But back to our buffalo, who just can't get his tail through that lattice. Can I ask why we don't marvel more that this ox actually went through the window? Isn't that amazing? And don't you see that the tail cannot pass through? There's always something missing, something off, some suffering, some different way of seeing and doing things. Change is all around us. Our acts, our deeds, are the ground upon which we stand, and we are incredibly powerful. And yet, seen on a global scale and galactic time, maybe we don't matter so much. And maybe we need to hold these two opposites equally. We powerless individuals can do anything. We are part of reality, the pattern expressed in this world. We matter. We practice compassion. We continue our practice, and we realize that maybe we don't know what our practice is about in the end. If the buffalo, our realization, goes all the way through, a bodhisattva is gone from this world, from this field of practice. Because remember the pit on the other side? Let me read it to you again. If it goes past, it falls into a pit. If it comes back, then it is spoiled. This little tail is very strange indeed. So, if the bodhisattva, if the buffalo, makes it all the way through the lattice, there is the pit. He or she disappears in non-duality. But if the buffalo backs through the window again and into the old life of self-clinging, without leaving apart on the other side of that window, what a loss. So with this thought, I will end my talk. To commit to our practice because we owe it to ourselves and to the world. Let us be stuck in the window together with a little piece of that tail hanging out the other side. Let us have gratitude that this world has always been taking care of us. We are here and we are alive. And let us be stuck in the window joyfully, knowing that it is our place to take care of the world. So this stuckness is part of our path. Also, if this talk does not resonate with you, or it just sits differently with you, please do forget all about it right away.
May our intentions equally extend to every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.
So if you would not mind staying seated,